But you know, it all is about learning and self-development is what the other common theme was among our guests, is that the learning never stops. You got to keep keep improving yourself, because it's not a destination, it's the journey, right? And at the end of the day, yes, you will become more successful, but what's more important is how much of a better person you become along the way.
You are listening to the Savvy Real Estate Investor Show, the podcast dedicated to empowering you to invest for your family's future. Listen in to learn about different strategies successful investors use to live their best lives. Whether you are starting out on your real estate wealth building journey or a seasoned investor looking for the next unfair advantage, this is the show for you. Each conversation will help you be more savvy when it comes to understanding how to leverage real estate to achieve your goals and live an extraordinary life. Your host is none other than seasoned investors and power couple, Jose and Khadija Jafferji, founders of the Savvy Real Estate Group, where we have been helping passive investors grow their wealth and getting them one step closer to financial freedom since 2008.
Hey, fellow savvy real estate investors. Thanks for tuning in. So today is going to be a little bit different. We don't actually have a guest on our show. Today, you just have Jose and myself because we are actually celebrating our 50th anniversary on the show. So we are really, really proud to say that we have published 50 episodes. It has definitely been a wonderful, fascinating year. I would say that when we first started this podcast, our goal was to give back and to help other people, educate them about real estate investing. But what happened in the process, aside from that, is that we got the benefit of learning so much from all the wonderful guests that we had on our show, and selfishly got to ask them so many awesome questions and get answers to things that we ourselves didn't know, or that we just were able to learn from all of the guests who are doing so many amazing things. So I want to say thank you to all of our guests for being on our show and educating our listeners and educating us, allowing us to form some amazing friendships and relationships. And we're definitely excited to share this episode with you. We hope that we can educate you a little bit about on what we've been doing for the last while and what we're planning to do for 2023, and also share with you some of the key takeaways from publishing our 50 episodes with all of our guests and all the great lessons and strategies that we learned along the way. So Jose.
Definitely a very, very special episode. And, you know, we're kind of proud that we were consistent in releasing one episode every single week. And, you know, the greatest part was, like you said, connecting with our wonderful guest. They brought in so much value to our listeners. And we truly appreciate all of our listeners that have given us the reviews on iTunes and reached out to us on, sent us a DM on Facebook, Instagram. That really means a lot to us, especially, you know, because we've been doing this for now one year.
Yeah, no, it definitely is a time commitment for us, making sure we carve out time. But like I said, after those episodes are done, we always come out feeling really energized and really motivated. And I really do hope that you feel the same way when you're listening to the episodes, because, our guests have been absolutely amazing. So yeah, aside from that, we definitely wanted to take this episode as a platform to tell you a little bit about what we're doing and what we've been up to and some of the strategies that we see as being great for 2023 for ourselves, and maybe discuss sort of the evolution of our investing and where we are today. So yeah, I mean, for most of you who know, we've been investing in the United States for some time now.
Yep.
And we've, like many of our listeners on the show, we definitely started out with the single families and the duplexes and all of that right in our backyard here in Ontario.
Yes. Yeah. So we accumulated, around 150 units of our own here in Ontario with in-house property management and construction management. So we learned a lot about the operations side, finding deals. So we were kind of very hands-on. And then over the last 2 years, We both decided that, you know what, the numbers here in Ontario is not starting to make too much sense, especially the way that the market grew so quickly. So I started exploring the US market. I started attending a lot of conferences and connecting with other people in the multifamily syndication space. So for those that don't know what syndication means, which is not a commonly used term in Canada especially, is basically just you get a group of investors that pool their resources, their money, their capital, their talents, and you buy a larger commercial property, which is typically 75 units to could be 200-300 units. So I got the opportunity to now be part of two deals in Atlanta. We were looking at several different markets, Texas, Georgia, Florida, and the Carolinas. Just happened to be that we got connected with a broker in Atlanta. So this is our second deal now, and that journey has been absolutely amazing. Met a lot of great people along the way. Some of them are my partners in a couple of these episodes that we've had so far. So really, you know, kind of thinking bigger in terms of the syndication, because we are buying, you know, institutional quality assets. They have to be run like institutional quality assets, because, you know, we have the asset management meetings every week, where we're closely monitoring every single financial associated with the property. So really, yeah, it's been a great journey. And, you know, the main reason my wife and I both wanted to do this is because we wanted to get more, help more people, have more people involved in what we do, so that they can, you know, they can benefit from the great returns and the getting their money outside the stock market, so that, you know, ultimately we can grow all together, right?
Yeah. And I think that that's really an important thing that we should touch on here, is because, you know, it's all about the journey at the end. And our journey at the beginning was, you know, we built a self-capitalized portfolio here. We're not attracting joint venture partners to grow. We were not raising a whole lot of capital at the very beginning. And I think a lot of that was a mindset block, right? It's this mindset thing where, you know, you're scared, right? It's easier to just do it all by yourself. It's easier to not have these thoughts of large ventures, because that's a big step. It's like buying a bigger business. It's like having more responsibility. So it's easy to stay in that comfort zone. And so that's what we did for a long time. And, you know, it worked for us. We were able to grow, but at the end of the day, that, you know, at some point you have to branch out of that. And I think that what Jose is saying here is that, you know, there are a lot of people who do want to invest in real estate in various capacities, but they don't want to be hands-on. They don't want to be buying all their own units, managing all their own units, doing everything. There's a lot of people who have corporate careers that are really important to them and that they're really good at. Yep. And that's okay for us. You know, real estate has been our primary business. We've been active investors. All of our income is generated through real estate, both within the rental portfolio as well as other things we do. But that's not the case for everybody. But that doesn't mean that real estate is still not a vehicle that they can and I think should be using. So what branching into the US allowed us to do is to really offer this opportunity to other people and offer it in a very systematic way, because with large institutional assets, there is a very sort of a roadmap or a business plan that's in place. And because of the locations we're investing in, it's very feasible and very attainable with the right management.
Yeah. And you know what, a couple of things I wanted to touch on is why did I choose to go into the US market in the first place, right? And the main reason is because there are a couple of reasons, right? Number one was that the landlord and tenant laws in the Southeast United States are a lot more favorable towards and fair towards the landlords. So, you know, we don't have any rent control there. You, once the lease is over, you're able to increase it to market rent. Whereas in Ontario, we felt very restricted because you're stuck with sometimes somebody that's paying $700, $800 a month when really that the market rent should be like double that, right? And you as a landlord are not able to keep up with the expenses on the property, especially for the smaller landlords that are out there. So it really affects your cash flow, you know, and it's very unfair, to be honest. The second reason was because of the higher cash flows, right? The price point is much more affordable in the US, almost half is what I found. And with the rents are equivalent, sometimes a little bit lower, but based on our purchase price, it's a much greater cash on cash return. So you're able to also distribute some of this cash flow to our investors. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Ontario, it's been a primarily equity play where you're gaining equity, you're gaining appreciation, but there isn't much cash flow. So, you know, when we're attracting investors, one of their criteria is that they want some kind of a cash flow distribution rather than just having their money sit for, 5-6 years and they get a return at the end. You know, that's sounds great, but you know what? For a lot of people, they want some kind of a cash flow distribution because ultimately for some people, they want to be able to get that passive income and someday be able to retire once they accumulate a large enough investment portfolio. So, you know, that's why we chose to scale into the United States because of these favorable business laws, you know, and, you know, just the opportunity because the population is 10 times bigger, you know, you have a lot more deal flow. They have more favorable tax laws. So people are selling properties much more frequently and they're able to offset their capital gains if they invest in another property. So that doesn't happen so much in Canada because everyone's afraid of capital gains. So, you know, a couple of the reasons. And the main reason we chose to invest in multifamily is because of that multiplication or multiplier effect, right? So every dollar of increase in the rent per month, it adds $240 in value, right? That's if you apply a 5% cap rate. So really tremendous upside if you're able to execute your business plan properly, right? And that's why we were attracted to multifamily over here as well. And then when we scaled it to like 100 plus units, that just, you know, brings in tremendous value upside on our deals.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, something that Jose was saying, just all these reasons, but like, you know, now that we are sophisticated investors, we understand operations, we understand underwriting our deals. In the US, just because of the size of the market as well and the number of properties, an experienced investor can actually set a metric. So we can actually set a certain metric and we can specifically look for properties that are within our metric based on our risk tolerance, based on various different factors, the types of returns we're looking to get, you know, how long we want to be in the deal, how much improvements we want to do, whether we want to do have a big CapEx budget or a small CapEx budget. We can actually set all these parameters and then we can, what we call go hunting, right? Like we can go and find a deal that is right for us and the type of investor profile that we have. If, for example, if you have an investor profile that just wants a steady investment, you know, perhaps a property that doesn't require a whole lot of cash injection, that's not going to require a lot of turnaround, that's just going to kind of coast, then we would know that and we would be able to find that property. If we have investors or we're looking for a project that is more value add, that has a little more risk potentially associated with it, maybe it's a gentrifying neighborhood, maybe, you know, whatever these factors are, then we can certainly look for that opportunity too. So it, I think, allows us to utilize our skill, utilize our understanding of real estate, using our understanding of operations to really find unique opportunities for different profile of investors and adapt to market conditions in a much more systematic way. In Ontario, I mean, of course, I'm not going to criticize Ontario. I think that we did amazing in Ontario. And I think that investors in Ontario will continue to do well. I think fundamentally, economically, there are a lot of great things going on here too. However, you know, depending on what you're trying to do and why you're trying to do it and when you're trying to do it, sometimes it may not make sense for everybody. So for us, I think that was a big factor in saying, hey, like you can't force a circle into a cube box, right? You can't force it in there. It's not going to become a cube no matter how hard you try. So we were trying to do a lot of that. We were trying to force deals to work here just because we wanted to continue to grow, which obviously, you know, you want to continue to grow. You want to find more deals. You want to continue to operate and execute more things. But we just weren't able to find things that, again, like I said, fit into that metric for us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and because the way that the market changed as well, right? This is one thing I've learned from a lot of our guests too, is that you constantly have to pivot, right? If the market is not working in your favor, then you can either keep complaining about it or you got to do something about it. And for us, we decided to go into the United States because we felt that long term, the opportunities are going to be plentiful because of the size of the market and all the things I mentioned before. More favorable tax laws, business laws. So all of these things considering, like, of course, you know, investing cross-border is definitely a little bit daunting for a lot of people. And that's why, you know, we had to kind of bring in the experts, talk to a cross-border accountant and cross-border attorney just to get ourselves set up. However, you know what, once you rely on the experts, there's always a way to get things done, right? So for those of you that may be considering investing in the United States, there is a way to do it. Talk to people that have done it in the past. And you know, if you want to get involved in our opportunities, we structure it in such a way so that it's very friendly for Canadians to invest in our projects. And no matter who you invest with, make sure you vet them, right? Whether it's investing with us in our syndication projects, in multifamily, or you're investing with somebody else, make sure you vet them, make sure you do your due diligence on whoever you work with.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, 2023, I think we're already like right in the thick of it. I think that there's going to be great opportunities for people. I think there's always opportunities for people. There's never a time where opportunities don't exist. But like Jose said, it's just a matter of pivoting and finding those right opportunities. So for ourselves, we are still continuing to look for the right opportunities in the US with regards to apartment buildings and syndications. We do have a much more conservative metric that we're using right now with respect to the type of deal that we're looking for. Obviously, underwriting very conservatively, keeping in mind that the interest rates have changed and, you know, we're not in a rush. I think being in a rush is a problem for some people, you know, this idea of FOMO and like, I got to get this done now. For us right now, we're looking at finding the right opportunities and we're okay with waiting for that right opportunity to come. So we are still involved in vetting deals, underwriting deals, looking for opportunities down south.
Yeah, no, 100%. We're definitely not sitting on the sidelines. I think there will be some great opportunities if you keep looking. So we're still on the lookout for new opportunities to provide to our investors. That may come later on in the year, I think, when interest rates start to decrease. Hope I'm right about that. So probably in a, you know, third to fourth quarter of this year is when we're going to start seeing more deal flow. Currently, what I'm finding is there is a kind of a disparity between what sellers are looking to get for their property and what buyers are willing to pay. So once that kind of normalizes,
the gap decreases.
Then I think there'll be some more opportunities. And, you know, I think even over the next 12 to 18 months, there'll be some more opportunities coming. I'm already seeing, like, the other day I had a broker from Atlanta call me that there's a deal available. And when I looked into it, you know, I knew that this was kind of a distressed seller. They bought the property just up, I think, about a year and a half ago, and they're selling for about $15,000 per unit more than what they paid for it. So they're going to be probably in for either break even or maybe lose a little bit. So there is some distress that I'm seeing as well. I know a couple of big headlines where Brookfield is defaulting on their loan, for example. Some of these large companies as well are getting into trouble with their loans. So, you know, this year and I would say in the next couple of years, what's going to be very, very important is paying close attention to the operation side, the asset management side, because you know what, a lot of new people, unexperienced investors got into the business and just rode the wave, rode the market with huge increases in appreciation, rent growth, and they were able to exit their properties for much bigger returns without doing much work. Now, definitely things have changed and, you know, you got to be a great operator, a great asset manager to be able to realize those returns and execute on their business plan.
Yeah. And I will say that I'm very grateful. When we were first investing, people always asked us, why are you doing your own property management? You know, you're basically, your time is worth more than that. Property management is not worth your time. You should be outsourcing that. And I understand why people feel that way. However, we always had this, I don't know, there was something that said like, no, we have to bring this in-house. And not to say that we do everything ourselves. We have a team now, but at the beginning, yes, we were doing it all ourselves. And what that did was it allowed us to learn how to run a large portfolio. So we run our own 150 units here. We have our own staff do it. We essentially asset manage our own portfolio within our own sort of vertically integrated system. So now when we have our 122 units in Atlanta that we have to manage, although we have a property manager who is essentially like our employee, they work on site for us. We have the tools and the skills and the understanding of how to run these properties because we run our own every single day. And it makes it very, very sort of transferable in terms of how we can asset manage. We ask a lot more questions. We're a lot more, we understand budgets a lot better. We've done a ton of CapEx. We've renovated all of our own units. So we understand what numbers should be, what, you know, KPIs for leasing, for various deliverables from our property managers. And I think that in order to be a good operator, you do need to understand property management. Property management is the lifeblood of this business. Yeah. Whether anybody wants to tell you that or not, your clients are your tenants. And the way that your properties are run will ultimately affect their profitability greatly. So you can turn around as many units as you want, and that's one portion of it. However, the longevity of the building has to do with how it is managed and how the tenants are managed. And especially in the economy today, making sure that you're vetting tenants properly, putting in the right people, that your rents are being paid every single month. These are all very important factors that operators need to take into consideration. Yeah. And I, just for the listeners out there who are self-managing or have property managers, just, I think a good message here is that managing your property manager and managing your properties is extremely important. And if you're going to be involved hands-on.
No, 100%. You know, there's a lot of, you know, you can join a lot of masterminds and read a lot of books, and they will all talk about, you know, buying your property, finding deals, how to finance your property. And these are all really critical components on the front end. But on the back end, the managing the property right is the most absolutely can make or break you. Because even if you buy right and you finance right, but if you don't manage right, and unfortunately, it's not going to be as successful and you're going to probably lose money. So managing the property right with, I'm talking about asset managing it right, is absolutely crucial. And couldn't be more important today than ever before.
Yeah.
So with that, I think we were just going to go into some of our big key takeaways from all the wonderful guests that we've had over the last 50 episodes and kind of briefly mention on there were so many great, great points. Like, and one of the most common things and recurring books that people would read or somebody that kind of shifted their mindset into thinking differently was, I'm sure you've had heard of all this one before. It's Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah, it was just fascinating to me. I think that out of like all the guests that we had, when we ask everybody their origin story, like where, you know, how did you get into real estate investing? And I think all of them, almost all of them, all said somebody gave them or they came across Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is just fascinating because that was how we started too. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I mean, Robert Kiyosaki, I think that I'm going to just put it out into the universe here that I would love to have Robert Kiyosaki on the show here one day, because I think that he has just left the most amazing legacy and he has impacted so many people so deeply because of that book. And I don't even know if he knew that when he wrote that book, like it was almost like an anecdotal book that he wrote about his own life experience and his own Rich Dad and Poor Dad. But it is just, so if you have not read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or if you have not read Rich Dad, Poor Dad in a long time, maybe it's definitely something that you should pick up again, because it seems to be this pivotal moment for all of our guests where that book somehow changed their life and changed their mindset and changed the trajectory of their thinking.
Yeah, 100%. And I had a great fortune of meeting Robert Kiyosaki in person.
Robert Kiyosaki.
In person, like this was way back, maybe
2010.
Maybe, yeah.
It was a long time ago.
And I would say, like, not just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but there are so many other great books by Robert Kiyosaki and his Rich Dad advisors. I would pick those up any day. Learned a ton from them, especially Cash Flow Quadrant is one of my favorite books probably of all time. But, you know, it all is about learning and self-development is what the other common theme was among our guests, is that the learning never stops. You got to keep you got to keep improving yourself, because it's not a destination, it's the journey, right? And at the end of the day, yes, you will become more successful, but what's more important is how much of a better person you become along the way, 100%. Right? With all aspects of your life, not just financial, but you're going to become a better parent, you're going to become a better father, better mother, better
spouse,
better business owner, you know?
Yeah. And you know, like we realize from everybody that the more you have, the more you can contribute to society, whether it's financially or through the various things that you do. So many of our guests have now given back in terms of coaching. They speak at various events, educating other people. They have their own podcasts. So after a certain point, it comes down to, okay, I've attained all this personal success and all this personal development. Now I'm going to give back. And I think that that is really important. And all of our guests, we talk about this thread a lot too, and the importance of giving back, because I think you do have a duty to give back. And again, it doesn't have to be financial. You don't have to go give money necessarily, but you have a duty to give back, whether it's through service or through education or through helping others. And I think that all of our guests embody that in 100%. Their own ways.
Yeah, no, and no matter what you do in life, you got to add value to others, right? Whether it's your investors, whether it's your residents and your tenants that are living in your properties, whether it's your community that you're part of, you know, the entire world, essentially, you got to keep adding value. And our intention for this podcast, when we first started, was to give back, you know, it was strictly to give back, educate more people on what we're doing and how our guests are doing it and how other people can be inspired to learn and do this themselves. So, you know, with some of the other key takeaways was building a business that will fund the lifestyle you want, right? That's what it's all about. Ultimately, you know, it's not just about the money. It's the lifestyle that you're going to create for you and your family and your loved ones, you know, give back to your parents.
Speaking of that, like, not to interrupt Jose, but everybody who came on our show, they talked about this one concept of time and how time is the most valuable asset, right? Yeah. It's not about, when they talk about financial freedom, it's about the financial freedom of time. So through creating businesses and through investing in real estate, we even had a doctor on our show who talks so much about this and how if you're a doctor and you want to continue to practice as a doctor, that is definitely commendable. We need doctors. However, what kind of a doctor would you be if you didn't have to go to work to make money? If you didn't have to push through 100 patients a day to make your salary? Yeah. What if you could choose to only see 20 patients a day and give your everything to those 20 patients because you didn't actually need to go to work because you needed to pay your bills, because you had these other sources of financial freedom? So when we have financial freedom, our time becomes more available. We're able to give our time better and, you know, do better with the time that we have. And, you know, obviously it creates much more mental space for us without having to worry about paying our bills by trading our time for money.
Absolutely. You know what? One of the other guests that really resonated with me was, you know, focus on leaving intellectual legacy rather than like material possessions, right? That is so important. Like teaching them how to be more resilient, teaching them to be more stronger, like mentally stronger, you know, teaching them to be
Good leaders.
To be good leaders, yes, absolutely.
To learn how to sell, to learn how to do so many things that have nothing to do with leaving money behind. Because Jose and I actually both realize that, and I don't know, maybe this will change as we get older, but right now we both feel like giving money, a lot of money to our children will actually be an injustice to them, because it will take away that, you know, that struggle, and it will take away that journey for them to attain their own success. And there is so much pride in attaining things yourself. Like you just, if somebody had handed everything we had to us in a silver platter, I don't think we would have developed into who we are, because we talked about this, right? The journey creates who you are. So that's the first thing. And secondly, there would be no personal pride or personal satisfaction in achieving something, because again, you didn't have to do anything for it. So this whole idea of generational intellect and leaving intellect to your children, giving them the tools and the skills. And look, I know this is a different conversation. I'm not against the school system. I think the school system has its place. However, I think more and more, especially because I have kids in the school system, as parents, you have a duty to teach your children more about the world. The world is changing so very fast. And I don't think the education system is quite going to prepare our children for what the world's going to look like in the next 15 years.
Absolutely.
So especially in terms of financial education and some of the raw core skills that our children are going to need in order to succeed in this next sort of, I think, like going to be a completely different world out there in the 100%. Next 15 years. We need to start thinking more deeply about how we're impacting our children and what we're teaching them at home, because ultimately I think that's our duty as parents, really, is that, and that's the most wonderful gift we can give them, is to prepare them for the world and to teach them to be impactful in whatever capacity that whatever that they end up doing with their lives.
Yeah. And you know what, that brings me to the next point. We had a few very young guests, like in their early 20s, early to mid 20s. And one thing they were wise beyond their years. Yes. Like, you know, starting young, and fortunately, we started young as well, like maybe in our mid to late 20s. It gives you a huge advantage, right? Starting young gives you a huge advantage because you can better prepare yourself at an early age when you don't have that many responsibilities as for kids, or you know, having a house to look after, having loved ones to take care of, and the longer you're invested, the better you're off, right? You're letting the time do the work.
Right. Time in the market.
Right? Exactly. So you know, that is very, very crucial to start young, as young as possible. No matter, you know, a lot of people will say, no, I don't have money right now, but you can save save as much as possible. And even if you're investing a little bit at a time, it's still better off than 10 years later or 5 years later, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I think you know, I'm thankful that you guys have been along this journey with us. You know, we look forward to another year of amazing episodes. We have already some great guests lined up for the next several months. So I really hope that you are going to continue to tune in and get value from us. We would really appreciate if you continue to like, subscribe, and review us at the Savvy Real Estate Investor Show on iTunes. It really helps with our ranking and helping us to get our reach out to more and more people. So that would be really appreciated. And we're so grateful that you're here. We can't wait to have you stay with us along this journey as we continue to interview more people and impact more people. And wanted to say thank you for definitely a wonderful year.
Yeah, no, for sure. And if you really like this solo episode, if it resonated with you, please reach out to us. Let us know your thoughts because we would love to hear from you. And remember one thing, fortune favors the bold. So if, go out there and do something.
Yeah. Keep
Take bold. Action.
Thanks, everyone.
I hope you enjoyed today's conversation on the Savvy Real Estate Investor Show. Make sure to hit subscribe or follow on whichever platform you are listening to this on. If you liked this episode, please write a review and share it with us. We are getting the show up and running right now, so every message, every review, and every note counts. This show exists to showcase how investors at any level can start using and leverage real estate to become savvy wealth builders. If you want to learn more about how we can potentially help you create more passive income and build your wealth faster, go to www.savvyrealestateinvestor.com. Once again, it's www.savvyrealestateinvestor.com. All right, that's a wrap. We can't wait to hang out with you on the next episode.